San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, June 29, 2025. Today's lesson is Gifts Freely Given with Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning, and welcome to the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. We are so blessed to be here this morning. Let's anchor ourselves in, as we do every Sunday, in this truth. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living Spirit Almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So here we are, the last week of June. The last week of June. Next Sunday, it's the seventh month. We've been through 6 months, just like, phew, there they went. And yet, the abundance of information and love and blessings and joy and the beautiful simplicity of just being has been so huge this first half of 2025. We're following simple abundance, and it's like we have an abundance of good, we have an abundance of lessons, and yet it seems like it's gone by so quickly because we are so fully enjoying it. Someone once said, if you're going through a half hour of something horrible, it feels like a week. If you're going through a half hour of something extremely joyful, it feels like 2 minutes. So that's why we have experienced such rapid time this year, is because we are so filled with joy. And for June, our month is generosity. So what is generosity? Well, it is being magnanimous. It is giving freely, giving for the sake of giving, because it feels good. It feels good to be part of the wholeness and the oneness that is. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the Religious Science Movement, Science of Mind, Centers for Spiritual Living. And he's passed on, but he was an amazing mystic. And he saw things and shared things that just, we are still blown away today by the words that moved through him. Ernest Holmes was a gift. That he shared his gift with the world, we can be truly thankful for. His words have changed the lives of so many because he gets right to the point. He says, hey, dude, one, there's one. There's one. Everything is one. Everything is infinite and eternal, and it is one. And we, therefore, are one with it. So when we understand that we are one with Spirit, when we understand that Spirit lives within us, it is us. It is sort of kind of mind-blowing. The first time it soaks in, whoa, I am a spiritual immortal being. I simply am having a human experience. I am not limited by what goes on in the physical plane. If I were, then I would only know about what is right in front of me at any given time. I would have no memory. I would have no experience. I would simply be like, well, not even as good as one of those new Optimus, is that the name of the robot there that they've figured out? He's gonna be, everybody gets an Optimus and he comes in your house and he does your dishes. And why did they call it a he? Why did they call it a he? Because I'm thinking cleaning the house, doing the dishes. That was mom and the kids. That was not what dad did. Dad did the outside stuff. He did the yard work, the fixing things, the fixing the cars. So we're all going to get eventually our own maid. And if we want to put it in a skirt, we can. But what that tells us is we are not artificial. We do not have artificial intelligence, artificial feelings. We do not respond automatically in a preset way of being as if we were simply a computer program. That's not who we are. We are one. We are a gift to each other. In 365 Science of Mind, Ernest writes, "I am vitalized by the fullness of life. You know that life cannot withhold itself from you. All that life is and has is fully given to you to enjoy. The life of God is perfect and eternal. It is the essence of everything that is. Life is God's gift to you. It is always ready to manifest itself through you in its entire fullness." What did he tell us? The life of God is perfect and eternal. So, infinite, eternal, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all of those things. That's what God, Spirit, the Source, the Creator is. And it's the same essence of everything that is. Life, as we are experiencing it in this human body, is a gift. A gift that we've been given. It is God's gift to us. And according to the universal spiritual principles and the law is just sitting there waiting for us to think of something or to say something. And as soon as we think of it, it goes, "All right, yes, let me get started on that," and starts moving forward. We don't have to do anything. We simply have the idea, the concept. I knew what I wanted to talk about today. And what was interesting was Mark's talk, Reverend Mark's talk last week was so powerful. And a lot of it was what I thought I was going to talk about today. But that's cool. What that did is that made me think, all right, those are not the only words. Those are not the be all end all with nothing beside it. It is what he said, what he spoke about is absolutely true. It is the truth. We are the gift. And that the gifts that we give are the gifts that have been given to us. So that's what I had in mind originally with gifts freely given. Ernest writes, "You are a self-choosing mind in a divinity that permeates everything. You are always in the midst of life, a life that lives eternally and lives through you now. Therefore, you do not need to be disturbed by the passage of time, the movement around you, nor the variations of your experience. There is something within you that remains unmovable, that always speaks directly to you, saying, 'Be still and know that I am God.'" So we can tell ourselves, "Be still. I know that I am God, that God is within." because that is the essence. Now, granted, given that we are in this earth suit, there are limitations to what we can physically do. But no limitation in what is possible. Everything is possible. Not everything is probable, but everything is possible. For instance, at my age, all the statistics say, based on my age and all these different things, plus the fact that I have my tubes tied, I should not be able to get pregnant. However, it's not impossible. Neither is it something I'm looking for. Ernest wrote in here words that I'm not going to have you repeat, but I'm going to have you sit and absorb right now. Know these words for yourself. Consciously, I draw upon the life that is mine. I know that the fullness of life, which is divine in its origin, eternal in its presence, and forever available, is mine. The life of the eternal spirit is my life. The infinite riches of its being are mine to enjoy. The vitality, the wisdom, and the peace of God are mine. I accept them in fullness, in joy, and in peace. My thought is a gateway to illumination. It is the secret place of the Most High within me. Therefore, I revel in the fullness of life this moment. Now repeat this after me. I accept life, as a glorious experience, a spiritual adventure. And so it is. You accept the life that you already are. There are a couple of handouts in your program today. One of them is the handout for the teaching symbol. And I just thought it would be nice for everybody to have that again so that you can see what it all means. Because in its explanation, it includes the fact that the law is constantly in action. As soon as we have a thought, the law is in action. As soon as we breathe, we do anything, we have an idea, the law says yes, yes. Universe says yes. I'm responding to the God essence that you are. And therefore, everything that you command, I do. It is up to us to keep any limiting thoughts away from who we are and what we do. Each of us is an instrument of goodwill. Did you realize that? Everything that you do can be done with goodness in mind. In fact, most of it is. Most of it is. In Simple Abundance, it talks about gifts that are freely given. And I'm going to go into the gifts that are the qualities of God. You also have an insert that in your program that is the qualities of God. And I'm going to share this part with you. God is the one presence and the one power everywhere, equally present, expressing as certain qualities or attributes. These qualities are already the essence of our nature, because our essential nature is God. As we bring forth these qualities from within and welcome them into expression in all areas of our lives, we find ourselves living our true nature, living the life of God. Remember, Ernest told us life is God's gift to you. So what are these qualities of God? Abundance, balance, beauty, freedom, joy, love, order, peace, power, unity, wisdom, and wholeness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Your Father which is in heaven and your Father which is within you. All of these qualities of God are in you already. So Matthew is saying, hey, all this is here. You get to be perfect just like the source of your creation. Ernest Holmes wrote, "There is a pattern of perfection at the center of everything. There is a prototype of perfection at the center of every form." We call that a spiritual prototype. And that spiritual prototype for each of us includes all of these qualities of God. All of them. Joy. Joy is delight, gaiety, bliss, a state of happiness, the emotion evoked by well-being, success, good fortune, or by the expectancy of good. Joy. Even the word joy, your face lights up and it smiles. In Acts chapter 2, verse 28, the Bible says, "Thou shalt make me full of joy." Thou shalt make me full of joy. Well, yes, and we already are full of joy. Some of us just get really good at hiding it. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Where is that? Chapter 12. "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We know that love and life is the self-givingness of spirit. So we are always being given all that is. Everything we can think of is already within us. All of these qualities of God, peace, power, unity, and we have the opportunity to use them. Ernest Holmes and his radio show many years ago used to start it with, "There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it." When he says greater than you are, he's speaking to the human brain so that the human brain can realize that there is a power and look into it. It's a power for good. So how do I find out more about this power for good? I can't just, you know, send in the back of a match. You used to be able to buy things with matchbooks years and years ago, and when Ernest Holmes was alive. Oh. And so you couldn't just send in a matchbook cover, say, "Give me my everything." No, the fact that you thought about it, the fact that you decided to explore it and accept it, meant that you were being open to all the good that is. You were tapping into the spiritual prototype of your divinity. Gifts freely given. Everything is freely given to us. But it's possible to be stifling of ourselves. To, if we're a, like, as if we're a pot and we have a plant in us, we can only grow to accommodate that pot. And then we get root bound. So if we stay in our regular habits and don't ever change anything, we're going to be emotionally root bound, relationship wise, root bound. And, you know, just knowing how many plants I've repotted and they suddenly take off, it's amazing. There's a plumeria tree out in my front yard. I started it as a seedling the size of my baby finger in a little tiny pot. I got it over here at, no, I didn't get it at Anderson's. I got it someplace else years and years ago. Anyway, I had that and I took it with me in 1980 when I moved to Virginia. And I set it in my kitchen window and I would water it and it stayed the same size, as big as my little finger, for the 4 years, 4.5 years that I lived in Virginia. And then when we came back, I brought it back with me. Well, I also brought the Jeep and the tow trailer full of plants. And all of our goods mostly were moved by the moving company, but I was not going to leave all my plants. So we had to have the Jeep and the tow trailer full of my plants, including this little pink finger size plumeria tree. When I lived in the other house down, further down on the point, same thing. It wasn't until I moved into this house and I put that in the kitchen window and I looked at it and I thought, that thing hasn't grown in close to 10 years. What's wrong with it? And so I thought, you know, maybe it needs a bigger pot. So I got a gallon pot and I put it in it and that thing took off. It got nice and big and I thought, let me get a bigger pot. So I got one of those pots that is like, if you put a circle around your arms, you put your arms in a circle in front of you, it was about that size. Which I guess, what is that, a 15-inch pot, something like that? I put it in there, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And I thought, I'm going to take it outside. So I took it outside, and I sat it in between two different plants. I sat the big pot there, not thinking that it was going to turn into a tree. And it was going to extend roots down through the holes in the bottom of the pot to be that huge tree over there in my front yard. Just as you go out the front door, it's the one to the right next to the Birds of Paradise. 10 years, no bigger than my little finger, until it got room to grow. Now plants, like this little thing, give us clues. If we have a plant that was healthy that we bought and it starts dropping leaves or it stops blooming, then we know that maybe it needs some attention. Maybe it needs to be repotted. Maybe we need to look back at what nutrients it needs. But there are clues. So in our lives, what are our clues that we need more room to grow? Are we feeling frustration? Are we tired? Are we feeling confusion? Do we feel like there's a loss or a lack of something that we normally feel is present? Well, nothing is gone. Nothing has left us. We are simply no longer giving our gifts the attention that they deserve. So we need to refocus. We need to refocus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, it says, prove all things. prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We know what is good. We know that we have a better life when we focus on the good than we do when we dwell on the appearance of evil. Because evil is just that, it's an appearance. It doesn't mean we can't experience it, but it does mean that it doesn't have any power except the power that we give to it. I find all kinds of really cool quotes in the Simple Abundance book. Coincidentally, this one is for June 30th, and it is June 29th. So I thought, well, it almost lines up. Eileen Caddy was part of a group of people, Eileen and Peter Caddy, and their sons and a friend of theirs, got this spiritual inspiration and direction. And so they decided to follow it. And they moved to an area on the northernmost coast of Scotland beside a garbage dump and sand dunes. Really? Why there? But they created a garden following only spiritual guidance. Through prayer and meditation, Eileen and Dorothy contacted spiritual essence, or the diva, of every plant species. It's like you sit down with a plant and you kind of focus on what it is that you feel that plant needs and desires and how it can be of service. Dorothy described those as angels, great beings of life, whose lives infuse and create all of nature. They did this and they started having this fabulous garden, and it became the Findhorn community. The Findhorn community. So it's worth looking up to find out the amazing and magnificent and powerful story behind the Findhorn community and faith and taking action on your faith. Eileen Caddy said, all you need is deep within you, waiting to unfold and reveal itself. All you have to do is be still and take time to seek for what is within, and you will surely find it. She said, expect your every need to be met. Expect the answer to every problem. Expect abundance on every level. Expect to grow spiritually. Expect to grow. What is it that we expect? What are we expecting? Marcus Aurelius said, when you arise in the morning, think of what a precious privilege it is to be alive, to breathe, to think, to enjoy, to love. Reverend Dr. William Mercer talked about understanding that there's no separation. Let me read you what he says. It's about knocking on the door. Let me preface this with, it's important to understand that knock and I will answer you, ask and you shall receive. There's lots of variations on that in the Bible. But what if none of that was true? What if we misunderstood the concept and the stories were just a means to get us to a greater awareness? Dr. Mercy said, Mercer said, Jesus tells us that in knocking on the door of a friend late at night to ask a favor, the positive response to the one who knocked will not be based on the friendship so much as the audacity of the request. In our use of biblical quotes, it is not the earlier part of the story on which we focus. We're absorbed by the idea that we will be invited inside from outside. As important as this access may appear, this good is behind a closed door, and we sell ourselves short in believing it to be true. By lifting our eyes and raising our consciousness, we will know that the door was never closed. We all remember the story of the prisoner who discovered after many years of living in a jail cell that the door was not locked and never had been. His separation was a matter of choice. So it is with us. We must constantly remember that there is no separation in the first place. God is always present. There is no need to knock on the door to gain entry to the place we already occupy. I'll say that again. There is no need to knock on the door to gain entry to the place we already occupy. There are no locked doors that separate us from our good, as there is no waiting period before we gain access to our good. We are in and with Spirit in every moment of our lives, in knowing that we reside in our good and that our good is within us. How can that be? Well, that's the omnipresent Spirit. The omnipresent Spirit is also our infinite source and substance. There is no end to our source, which is our substance and supply. Dr. Gordon Buck wrote, "The God source from which we derive our being calls us to come and be renewed in life, mind, and spirit, that we may then give expression to that which we have received. To live abundantly, we open ourselves to the spiritual resources of the presence and let it give positive expression in our lives. Gifts freely given. All of these gifts are freely given to us as a matter of course. And so it's no biggie to just share them, to give to others what we have been given. Love, joy, peace, power, balance, beauty, freedom, order, unity, wisdom, and abundance. Barbara Wolfe said, Jesus said often in many ways that we are one with God. As we realize that God is one God and there is none other, we become convinced that we, all beings, are included in the one presence. As this idea grows in our hearts and becomes more real to our minds, we become more and more aware of this oneness. This oneness. So were those stories knock and the door will be open? Were they just something that human mind could relate to? Because humans at the time were having trouble understanding that the divine was within, the kingdom was already within, God is already within, Holy Spirit is already within. It's what we're made of. It's what animates these earth suits. It's who we are. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, "Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words." thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. And I thought, gee, what gift? And then, of course, that's my inquisitive mind. And I thought, I am not going to go to Corinthians because I am going to say everything. The gift of being, the gift of omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, the gift of the infinite and eternal divine that is who we are. The gift of God within. And the amazing gift of being able to share all that we are. And every time we have an interaction with someone, we're talking to God. We're talking to Spirit. So it's important that we recognize the divine in each and every one of us. Again, we don't have to accept behavior. We do need to recognize the oneness. We can't make anybody do anything other than what they are committed to doing, which is good and bad. I'd like to fix people, but I don't want anybody trying to fix me. If people were fixable, we'd all be up in each other's faces all the time. It is better that we recognize that each person is here for their own specific and unique divine path. Everyone is already given everything that we need. And the more we give these gifts of spirit in so many different ways in our lives, the more we recognize those gifts that are already within. We have more peace because we are now a channel of peace. We have more love because we are now a channel of love. Reverend Mary Keller said, I realize that I must share my gifts and give love unconditionally to all who enter my life. I thank God for this opportunity to know, love, and serve God in all ways, as I see that everyone benefits from the giving of love and understanding. I am open and ready for more to be given to me. I look for ways to communicate with others in a positive manner. So everything that we are freely giving is being freely given to us in a greater degree because we have put our attention on it. And every place we put our attention increases. That's the law. I want to end this morning's talk with the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. We are already instruments of peace. We can freely give the gift of our presence, which is also the gift of spirit and the qualities of spirit. First, we need to know who we are. We need to remember that we are Spirit in Action. And so I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.